Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. If you were here last week, this is kind of review. And his brothers had sold him into slavery. And then by the time he got the Ishmaelites, got him to Egypt, they sold him to Potiphar. And we talked about circumstances that can enslave us. And the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord was made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Well, I don't know who's watching on live stream or whatever, but if I owned a business and I wanted it to prosper, I'd hire hardworking Christian men. Because this man was a pagan. This man didn't even serve Jehovah God. But you know what? He was smart enough to look around and figure out who God was blessing. And that's what I'd do. Look at verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored and preacher. He lived happily ever after. Well, if the story stopped there, then he wouldn't get to be where God eventually wants him. And you know what, folks? As God is trying to get you where he wants you, it seems like sometimes you go this way, and then there's a reset. And it seems like you're going up this way, and then there's a reset. What in the world is the Lord doing? Well, get ready for one of these resets. It starts in verse 7. Came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, listen. She spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by him until the Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Wow. Well, another obstacle, Joseph. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for these type of stories. It helps us, Lord. We can be so determined to do right and to be doing right. And yet it seems like sometimes the devil insists on laying traps. And Lord, things again out of control in Joseph's life. What is happening? All the questions that he must have been asking himself. But Lord, thank you for his response. We're going to focus on that after we lay the groundwork. We're going to once again see Joseph the overcomer. What's he going to do? Lord, may it bring encouragement in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, As tough as things have been for Joseph so far, they pale in comparison to the next setback he must endure. Remember obstacle number one, 2 weeks ago, people who did not believe in him. I like this, folks, every one of us. If God puts a dream in your heart, and that's all that happened, God put a dream in his heart. And you know what? He was so excited about the dream, he started telling people about it. And his brothers hated him for it, and his father rebuked him for it. But Joseph couldn't help but talk about it. You see, the dream was from the Lord. He had a dream. Hey, do you have a dream? Has God put something in your heart to do or accomplish for him? Well, not everybody's going to believe in it. Not everybody's going to believe in you. Obstacle number one, he had to overcome that. Obstacle number two, circumstances that enslaved him. And of course, he went out to check on his brothers. And boy, they saw him coming, that bright coat of many colors. And boy, the jealousy kicked in and the hatred. And next thing you know, he's in a pit and being pulled out of the pit, being sold into slavery. And here he is, circumstances that enslaved him. And you know what he did? We talked last week. He looked around. He said, I could sit here, I guess, and just feel sorry for myself. I can roll up my sleeves and go to work. And you know what, folks, no matter what setback that you have to face, hard work sure cures a lot of things. Just hard work will cure a lot of things. You know what? He kept his attitude right. And he said, I'm going to control what I can control. Remember last week? I'm going to control what I can control. And if I have to be a slave, I'm going to be the best slave in Egypt. And that's what he did. And next thing you know, here he is climbing the ranks again. Potiphar, he's a big wig. He's a big deal. And you know what? Next thing you know, this man, Joseph, has become in a position, an esteemed position in his house and trusted. And then this happens. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. Potiphar's wife, folks, listen to me, was an immoral woman. An immoral woman. She was a wicked woman. She was a seductress and an enticer. And she chose as her target this young Hebrew slave who had earned the trust of her master. I want to say up here, right? Thank God, first of all, let me just say this. Thank God for good, virtuous Christian women. And you know what? I wish I could stand up here today, gentlemen, and tell you every woman out there you can trust. And every woman out there is virtuous. And every woman out there, you know what, is true to her husband. And let me tell you, men, watch this. I'm going to blow the trumpet for just a moment here. There are, according to the book of Proverbs, strange women in this day and age. By the way, strange, if you look that word up, means unnatural. You know, it's unnatural for a woman to be immoral. It's unnatural for a woman to be wicked. It's unnatural for a woman not to be loyal to her husband. It's unnatural. That's why the Bible calls them strange women. Study the book of Proverbs. You can study it out with a concordance. Strange woman versus the virtuous woman. You read and list all the character traits of the strange woman. Everything about her, from the way she looks on the outside to the way she is on the inside. And then you study the virtuous woman. And I wish we could get young ladies back in the church house. Folks, I'm going to say something and listen to me. If you don't believe me, do the study. Study those two women, then look in society today. And most of the heroes that's being put up in front of our young ladies as examples are strange women. Are strange women. You know what? You can get their posters and buy their music and watch their movies. And you can choose them as heroes. Or you could come to the church house and find out they're still virtuous women. And God has called women to virtue. I want to look a minute at the temptation. I'll be careful. I know there's young people in here, and I'll be appropriate. I'll be careful. But you know what? Young people need to listen to this. Every one of you pure young men, you know what? The devil would like to set a trap for you and destroy you. Every one of you pure, wholesome, virtuous young ladies, let me just tell you this. The devil would like to set a trap, and he'd like to ruin you. This temptation started with a lustful look. You know, looks mean something. The way we look at people means something. The Bible says this, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. You young men better be smart enough to realize that if a young lady's looking at you in a certain way, come on, grow a brain. If a young lady's looking at you in a certain way, she's told you without saying a word, that that's somebody you need to get away from. Okay, young ladies, if a young man looks at you in a certain way, come on, grow a brain in a certain way. Okay, then something inside of you, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God, something inside of you ought to be blowing a trumpet saying, you know what, this is not a situation, this is not a person I ought to be around, and you get out of that situation. Temptation started with a lustful look. The temptation came next with a verbal invitation. Folks, there's so many things that are happening, and it grieves my heart. Social media and the internet and smartphones and all these different ways to communicate have opened up avenues of temptation to our young people. Listen, be careful, be careful, be careful. I'm going to tell you how to handle it in just a minute. Temptation was repeated again and again. She didn't just do this once and walk away. Hey, wickedness is determined. Wickedness is determined. The tempter then tried to force herself on him physically. So it started with a lustful look. Then it followed up with verbal invitations, was preceded again and again. And the tempter was then tried to force herself on him physically. And I almost wanted to stop during that part of the service and walk over and look at every one of you young men and said, and look you in the eye and make you answer me. If you were Joseph right then, what would you have done? If you're Joseph tomorrow, what are you going to do? Because you better make up your mind now before this thing happens the way you're going to respond to it. One of the reasons Joseph responded correctly to a temptation was because of the fact that he had already made up his mind about some things in his life. He'd already drawn some lines. He knew what the Bible said, and he was more interested in pleasing God than he was pleasing men. What was Joseph's response? Well, folks, he was very emphatic in the fact that he told her no. He told her no. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You need to go home and just look in the mirror and practice saying no. So look in the mirror and practice saying no. And you know what? The more they ask, the louder your no ought to get. Okay, the louder your no ought to get. Joseph told her it was a great wickedness and sin against God. Along with young people, just look up here, all right? Some of you think this is funny, and some of you that have already crossed these lines, and you know God's trying to convict your wicked heart about it right now, you think this is a joke. Let me say something. You know what? The Bible's still true, and you are still supposed to stay pure until the day you get married. That is God's standard. That is God's word. And it's not a joke. And it's not a sin, as we're going to see, that doesn't come with great consequence in your life. And so, you know what? I don't care what the world's doing. Bunch of godless kids that have never been around the Word of God and don't know the Bible. And you know, I blame their parents for that. Come on, I blame their parents for that. And they see the way the world's acting. And I'm telling you, human beings are like a bunch of barnyard animals nowadays. Because, preacher, that's just the way it is. Well, this doesn't have to be the way it is in your life. Okay, and Joseph said, hey, that may be the way Egypt rolls, but that's not the way it's going to be in my life. So Joseph told her no. Joseph told her it was a great wickedness and sin against God. Joseph did his best to avoid her and ignore her. And there came a day when, you know what, he walked into a room and he didn't mean to, and he looked around and nobody's there but her, and she decided she was going to physically force him, and she grabbed a hold of him, and you know what he did? Buddy, she got a hold of his outward garment. She got a hold of his coat, and he said, I don't need this coat. And he went right out from that coat, got his arms out, and took off and was out of there, and she's standing there, and she's holding his coat. Joseph was a man of godly integrity. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee, flee also youthful lust. Well, he did the right thing. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Joseph was a man of godly integrity. He did everything he could to avoid her, refuse her, resist her, including running out of his coat to flee her presence. The only thing he did not do, and I want to talk to you about this because I want to tell you, young people, you need to know how to handle this level of intense temptation in your life. Men, married men, You need to know how to handle this level of intense temptation in your life. Okay? The Bible says when it comes to immorality, when it comes to fornication, it shouldn't be once named amongst God's people. Not once named amongst God's people. This isn't a joke. And this isn't a joke. Man alive, I understand the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but Christians are supposed to be different. Okay? God's very emphatic about this. So stay with me this morning as I try to hit a reset button, all right? Maybe he wouldn't have, the one thing he did not do was report her to her husband. You say, preacher, would it have made a difference? I don't know. I mean, he's a slave. He may have been the top dog slave, but he was still a slave. When it comes down to it, is Potiphar going to believe a slave over his wife? I don't know. But I will show you a Bible principle. You're in Genesis. Please mark that, Genesis 39. Can we get some air running again here? Sorry, you got a little tight in here, got a little warm in here. Maybe the pulpit right now warming things up. That's all right. We need it warmed up a little bit. All right, Brother Nathan, could you kick some air on over here for me? That's good. All right. I want you to stay awake, all right? If you're tired, go like this. All right. If your husband's falling asleep, give him a hard elbow. And then whenever you hit that elbow, man, just look up and say, amen, hallelujah. That way everybody will think you were listening anyway. And so maybe he wouldn't have been believing. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Man alive, I hit myself hard there. I'm awake. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Well, what I'm going to give you is gold. What I'm going to give you is worth every ounce of your attention. Listen to me. Well, I just couldn't help it. Yeah, you can. Well, the temptation was too great. Now, you won't find that in the King James Holy Bible. In fact, God promises that there's no temptation that's taken you, but it's common to man. He also promises that God will make an escape for you. And so if we give into temptation, don't blame God. Don't blame circumstances. You can face temptation and you can overcome temptation. Deuteronomy chapter 13, when God has given Israel the law, he tells them in verse number 6, notice this, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. So somebody's coming in there enticing you. Maybe a different type of enticement, but it's still an enticement. Look in verse 8. Thou shalt not consent unto him. That's what Joseph said. No! You say no! My son of sinners, entice thee, consent thou now. Not nor hearken unto him. Now, what? That's different. Okay, don't consent, which means no. Don't hearken means, you know what? Don't be around him. Separate yourself from him. Hearken has this idea of being repeatedly pursued. And you say, well, Joseph was repeatedly pursued. I know, but he didn't have an option here. He was a slave. He was stuck in that house. He had to do his job. Men, listen, sometimes it's happening at the workplace. You see, I'm trying to avoid this situation. And I've said no. But he keeps coming or she keeps coming. Okay, what do you do then? Nor hearken, it says, but thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. So don't even get in a conversation. Mark him, stay away from him. Now watch this. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou, what's the next word? Conceal him. Now what that means is you go report it. Young ladies, you listen to me. Some of you are getting texts from the wrong kind of young men and they're saying the wrong time of things to you. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to take your phone and go right over to your mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, you need to see what this young man is sending me. Okay, you don't conceal them. You don't pity them. Okay, you know why they're allowed to do what they do? Because nobody will turn them in. All right? Gentlemen, if there's a situation going on, you need to go home and talk to your wife about it. Report them. Report the boss. Talk to the boss about it. This is going on. I want it to stop. Come on, go to somebody that's in authority. Come on, and talk to them about it. Now, Joseph didn't do that. You say, preacher, it might not have done any good. It's still a Bible principle that he should have followed. What's the worst thing that can happen? He gets thrown in prison. It happened anyway. Okay, so think about that. Just follow the word of God. You know what? He may have been thrown in jail either way, but the Bible tells us to always report an enticer whether we are believed or not. Joseph retained his integrity. He did not give into her advances. But after Joseph refused him, this is where I'm going to focus now. Listen to me. She retaliates by leveling a false accusation against him. Preacher, man alive, he did all the right things and still he ended up in jail. You know why? Because this immoral, wicked, godless woman couldn't stand the fact that she didn't get her way. So if she'll do that kind of a sin, you know what? Lying's nothing to her. But Joseph still did the right thing. When I said he retained his integrity, folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about you. All that matters is what God knows about you. Because it's God that in the end is going to balance the books. Okay? So now I want to deal with this matter of a false accusation. That's obstacle number three, false accusations that imprison you. Think about this. Has anybody ever told something on you that wasn't true? Has anybody ever made a complete, utter false accusation against you? And you know what? It's your word against them. And there's no way that they can prove it. There's no way that you can prove it. But you know in your heart you're innocent, but they don't care. They're lying and there's a false accusation leveled against you. That's where Joseph found himself. Okay? All of a sudden now she decides that she's going to pretend she's the victim. And it's crazy. He literally fled out of his coat to avoid this wicked sin. And she stands there in her evil mind and says, well, he may have run out of his coat, but he's given me the ammunition. And by the way, I've never had anybody say no to me. And he's going to learn nobody says no to me. And so she starts falling down on the ground. Come on, fake tears, fake alligator tears. Screaming and hollering and acting like, oh my goodness sakes, I was attacked. I was attacked. And that Hebrew that my husband brought in here, he came in to mock us. She sat there and got everybody in the house stirred up. And then as soon as her husband came home, she was in the bedroom crying and wailing and carrying on. He came in there and she told him a big fat lie. You know what? That husband, you know what? He believed his wife. Ladies, by the way, most husbands are going to believe their wives. So you make sure when you're saying something and telling something, it's the truth. It's the truth. What about this wicked sin of false accusation? It's one of the sorriest sins a man or a woman can commit is the sin of falsely accusing someone of something they did not do. And the Bible has much to say about this. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:16, is this, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's how big a deal this is to God. He said of my top 10, it's going to be on my top 10. False witness, false accusation. Listen, the truth ought to mean something. The truth ought to mean something. Don't level a false accusation against another person. Don't do it. Okay? You ought to make sure that if you're telling a story, it's the truth. The whole truth. Listen, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay, don't level a false accusation. It's forbidden in the Ten Commandments. I want to take a minute and just put a big bright spot Bible light on this sin, because it's not a little white lie. It's a big, black, hideous, wicked lie. The Old Testament protected individuals against the sin of false accusations by refusing to condemn a man at the word of just one other person. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be, and here's the word, established. So in other words, in the Old Testament law, God knew that some people would resort to the sin of false accusing somebody. So as part of the Old Testament law, God said, if one person comes and makes an accusation by themselves, that something happened and there's no other witnesses. Witnesses. That doesn't mean you read it on Facebook. That didn't mean that you heard it on, you got it in a text message. That means you've seen it with your eyeballs. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if that's fair, because what if something happened privately? God was so concerned about the sin of false accusation and the power that it could bring to destroy someone's life. He said, I'm sorry, but if there's not at least two witnesses. Now, wait a minute. Okay, so, well, preacher, I don't know about that. And think about this. If you know that's the law in Israel, what is your responsibility then? Your responsibility is to make sure that you don't put yourself in a situation. You know, there used to be a lot more carefulness. I'm going to tell you something. I build tall walls, strong walls around my reputation. I mean, I don't think you'll, I'm not saying it never happens, because sometimes somebody may, people in the church, some of you have keys to the door. But I'm going to tell you, ladies, let me just say it from the pulpit. If you see my vehicle out there and you're by yourself, don't stop at the church. And by the way, I pastor some of the greatest ladies, and I'm not worried about one person in this room. I'm just saying this. Don't ever put yourself in a situation where someone can say something happened. You just build strong walls. We teach our people that are out soul winning most of the time, whenever possible, and I think most of the time it's prudent to go two by two. That's what Jesus trained his disciples to do. Wonder why he did that. Just don't put yourself in that situation. Young ladies, young men, don't be in a car alone with a young man or another young lady. If you never do that, you don't have to worry about later on what was said. Oh, man, where did I land? Good night. Is this the 1950s? No, this is 1611 King James Holy Bible. That's what it is. It's getting America back to some common sense and some decency and some carefulness. Okay? If you're going to go to the altar pure and clean in this day and age, you're going to decide to do it on purpose, because it's not the norm anymore. It's not the norm, which means you go back to doing some things that maybe the world would raise an eyebrow at. Well, let me tell you something. You tell me about your life, I'll tell you about my life. Okay, how's the new world's way working? What's it producing? Okay, so you know what you do? You guard yourself. Now, that doesn't, Bible doesn't say. It says, well, if there's two or three witnesses, a matter is established. That word established doesn't mean that the person's declared guilty. It means the matter is established to the point of an investigation. Because I can show you several times in the Bible, including the Lord Jesus Christ at his trial, there were more than two or three witnesses that came and bore and gave false witness against him. So sometimes people say, well, I got two people that say the same thing. Well, that doesn't mean the person's guilty. It means that it's an established thing that needs to be looked into. Because you know what? Come on. All through the Bible, you can find instances of people collaborating together to take down somebody and lie against somebody. So that's what it's talking about. The Old Testament law also, listen, severely punished an individual if he or she was found to have brought a false accusation. And this is the part of the law that we need to put teeth back into in the United States of America. The Bible says if a false witness rises up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and judges. Watch this. Which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put evil away from you. You know what they did? They had set a law set up, made somebody that said, man, I'm mad at that person. I want to get evil with that person. I know what I can do. I can tell a story. And all of a sudden they think, wait a minute. If this ever gets proved that I started this story, whatever punishment I was trying to get to come into his life, guess what? It's coming into my life now. And wouldn't that be good if we had some laws on the books that like that in the United States of America? A false accusation is one of the seven sins on God's personal hate list. Proverbs 6:16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue. hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's a sin that God promises will not go unpunished. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished. Two different times it's declared in the Bible. Even if it seems someone may have gotten away making a false accusation, the Bible promises that if the human element won't bring justice, then God will send punishment to the life of that false accuser. Listen, you will not get away with this. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I don't know what happened later to Potiphar's wife. I don't know, but I can promise you, based on the principles of God's word, it may look like for a while she got by with this. She did not get by with this. I wonder what she thought the day that she heard that a Hebrew prisoner had been pulled out of prison and had interpreted a dream before Pharaoh. Come on. And was promoted to second most powerful in the kingdom. I don't know what was on Joseph's, the first item on his list to take care of. But whether he did it or God did it, I promise you, it was taken care of, folks. It's a sin that was committed against the Lord Jesus Christ. I already mentioned that. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. It goes on to say the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness. Many bear false witness against him. So folks, listen to me. Just because there's two or three different people that are saying it. By the way, again, did they all see it? Or are they just repeating it? Folks, we are in a time where so much information is shared. I just want you to look up here. I mean this. And this needs to be said from the pulpit right now. Because I understand the frustration that our country's feeling. But some of you that are reading things and they are not verified and they're not verifiable. Parents unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Everybody in here, I want you to take a breath. I want you to look up here and listen to me. Because this is a sin that in the last days is going to be used by the devil and the spirit of Antichrist to try to bring down good men. And if you're just going to believe something because someone is accusing somebody of it, then you are not following the word of God. Well, I know them and they wouldn't lie. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. There's not one person who can stand up and tell me you've never told a lie. The best of people can tell lies. Best of people can get hurt enough or mad enough or angry enough or vengeful enough to tell a lie. You need to be very careful in this day and age. I'm hearing things. Hey, did you hear what this preacher did? Did you hear what that preacher did? Did you see it? Why do you think in the last days God would say perilous times are going to come and one of the prominent sins is going to be false accusations? Because, folks, that's one of the most helpless things to defend yourself against. I mean, when somebody just flat out makes out an absolute utter lie about you and starts spreading it on social media, what in the world, if it's me, what in the world am I supposed to do about it? I'll tell you what I'm going to, first of all, do. I'm going to pray that God's people follow God's word and don't just believe it because somebody wrote it. Now, see, you're going to be hesitant about it till it's you in the crosshairs. And somebody's going to say something about you. And then you're going to want everybody to say, well, I just can't understand why everybody's just believing it just because somebody said it. I mean, that's not right. That's not fair. Maybe you're reaping what you sow. Okay, now listen, I'm not getting into that junk. Okay, if someone said so-and-so did something, well, why don't you call them and ask them? Why don't you go sit down to them and talk to them about it? Why don't you get to the truth? By the way, listen to what Potiphar did that was so wrong here. He listened to what his wife said, and based on her words, that's what the verse said, based on what she said, he made a decision. He did not listen to both sides of the story. And there's so many times, you know what's crazy? And can I just say this as a pastor? And then again, you know, you just put it somewhere in the back of your mind. You realize that when I counsel people in my office, that there's a certain amount of confidentiality that comes with that. And that I can even be put in a libel situation to keep certain things quiet Now, I'm going to just tell you what has happened in 15 years. Only happened, thank God, a handful of times. But I have been in my office. That's why, you know what? I've just started meeting. If you want to meet with me, there's not going to be two of us in that room. If you're a lady and you want to meet with me, I'll never have a meeting with you unless my wife's in the room with me. Well, I wanted to talk about something that I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with her hearing. Well, then I'm not comfortable hearing it. What, are you crazy? Go somewhere else. No, I mean it. You know what I'm talking about? Big, tall walls. But I've dealt with situations in the past where, you know, I've had husband and wife come in. Well, there's two of them. Surely that's okay. And then, you know, I'll talk to them about things and I'll say some things and they don't like what I said. So, you know what they'll do? They'll leave that office and they'll use social media and say, well, I was in his office and he said this, he said this, he said this. And some of you have read it and some of you believed it. Now, because I have integrity, Joseph had integrity. I could get on social media and throw them under the bus and tell things about them that I know that they're not telling. But then I got to make a decision. Do I maintain my integrity and put it in God's hands? Or do I stoop to their level? And I'm looking at the Church of God, Jesus Christ, and looking at some of you that think you know things about your pastor because some lying reprobate who's not even in church, not serving God, came over and sent you. So you know the inside story. If you come and talk to me about it, then you don't know anything. All right, that's all right. I'm just going to stand up here and say, as a man of God, I need to protect this office, and you need to have my back. Because somebody comes to me with something about you, let me ask you, come on, let's turn the tables. You want me to just believe it because they said it? Walk around the rest of my life, every time I look at you, think, oh, man, they did that. I know because so-and-so told me they did. Or would you want me to come to you and say, hey, this is being said. Is this right? If it's not right, I want to help you shut it down. And if we don't start treating each other like that in Christianity, I'm telling you something, folks. Listen, this idea of false accusations and false witnesses, it's such an acceptable thing in today's society. Most of our mainstream media are a bunch of liars. I mean, I'm telling you what, when a Supreme Court justice gets nominated, they might as well just put a full-page ad out in some several papers saying, wanted for good pay, false accusers that will come forward and tell stories. They don't care. Listen, I'm so fed up with the fact that nobody seems to care about the truth anymore. It doesn't mean anything. Just say whatever you have to say to advance your cause, and if it's a lie, it's a lie. Doesn't matter. Folks, listen to me. We can't live that way. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to live that way. So you've just got to decide. Because I'm telling you, the devil, in the last days, you're going to see more and more. Oh, preacher, you hear about this pastor, you hear about this missionary, you hear about this whatever. And I want to say, wait a minute, time out. Have you called them? Have you called them? Have you talked to them? Okay, because if the world and the Church of Jesus Christ, and I know I'm standing here for a minute, but I'm telling you, it's coming like a flood. And more utter, absolute lies are going to be used against good people, just like Joseph. And people are going to end up in jail, just like Joseph, because the world's decided that an accusation equals guilt. And an accusation does not equal guilt. Okay? An accusation may mean an investigation is warranted, but it does not mean guilt. And we're living in a society that depends on what side of the fence you are in your ideology, that this person can do it, and everybody see that it's done it, and nobody said, well, no, they didn't do it. And this person, nobody saw it, but it said, and they're guilty. They're just guilty. So that's what the devil's going to use. Now, come on, Joseph, how are you going to handle this? Here he is in jail now. Watch this. What's he going to do? Let me give you three things. Don't panic. We'll be out of here in just a minute or two or five or ten. Number one, maintain your integrity. Maintain your integrity. Say, preacher, you got lied about. Maintain your integrity. Maybe if he'd have just gone along When we suffer, listen, when we suffer for doing right, the devil can convince us that it would have been wiser just to do the wrong thing. No, no, it's not. It never is. Never is. What if I'd just given in to her, I wouldn't be in jail. Man alive, no, no, no. You'd have been in a different kind of jail. Maintain your integrity. Joseph was right to resist and flee temptation. No matter what we suffer externally, if in our hearts we know we've done right and maintain our integrity, we can have peace internally. See, folks, listen to me. My goal is to be able to keep going to bed every single night knowing in my heart that whether or not whatever anybody else thinks or what anybody else believes, I have maintained my integrity. That's what's important to me. And I can't run around, chase down, and defuse every liar that's out there. But I can get up every day and I can live in integrity. Number two, do not get better and do not get bitter and do not blame God. Aren't we back here again? Well, here's another opportunity, Joseph, where you've been mistreated. Don't get bitter. Don't blame God. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't plan revenge. Trust God to vindicate you in His time. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then I'm going to finish with this, number three. You know where we ended last week? Be the best slave you can be. If you're going to have to be a slave, be the best slave you can be. Be the best prisoner ever. I love this story. I love the way Joseph responded to it. Bible says in verse number 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. You know why the Lord was still with him? Because he did right. He did right. Maintained his integrity and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It may seem like in our mind that Joseph keeps going down and down and down, but every situation, he goes down and rises to the top of the down. Then he goes down and he rises to the top of the next down. Then he goes down and he rises to the top of the next down. And we're going to see next week where God says, all right, you passed the test. And he's going to reach in a miraculous fashion and pull that Hebrew slave out of prison and bring him into the presence of Pharaoh. And when the story's all done, he's going to be second ruler in the kingdom. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you think that would have happened if he had given in to Potiphar's wife? Young men, you better remember that in that moment of temptation. What are you giving up down the road? Ladies, what are you giving up down the road? Well, you can have a brief moment of gratification. What are you giving up down the road? It may seem like he's losing, but in this story, he won. He won. Heavenly Father, Lord, pray, dear God, we take these principles and live them out. Lord, if the world don't see a difference in the Christians, how are they going to find Christ? We're to shine as lights. Seems like there's darkness everywhere. There needs to be people. We'll never be perfect. We can't be perfect. But Lord, we need to be consistent. We need to maintain our integrity. We need to do right. Lord, I pray for our young people, Lord. They're growing up in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. Lord, I pray that you'd protect the young people here. Help them to come up with a plan now before the temptation ever happens. This is how I'm going to respond. I'm going to say no so loud that everybody have everybody's attention in the room. I'm getting away from that person and staying away from that person, and I'm heading to an authority figure, and I'm pointing them out. I'm telling them what happened. If that makes me a bad person, let me be a bad person. Lord, if we just follow the Bible, we could be protected. Lord, even if the world doesn't believe us, and even if we end up in prison for doing right, I just pray, Lord, that you would not forget us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.